Thank you, Jesus. Praise, yes, you will win. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We are going to continue our series this morning. I'm not going to preach long. I'm not going to hold you long. But we are on a series called... All right, now... I'm glad you know. This message is fight the good fight of faith. Let's read our scripture together. Hopefully you can see it up there. Don't you love Jay's bulletin covers? Yeah. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of my witnesses. Many witnesses. Can I change microphones now?
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, testing. This shows that it's on. Is it there? All right. We've got the power.
Amen.
Amen. We got the power. All right. We're going to move this so we don't get feedback. All right, the scripture says you made a good confession. And what was your confession? What do you think that was? We confessed. We fight the good fight of faith. Take a hold of eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession. When we confess Jesus Christ as Lord of our life. In front of many witnesses, we entered into a good fight.
Yes.
Did you know you're in a good fight?
Yes.
Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So we're in this good fight of faith because we've confessed Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And every opposition that the enemy has, that the devil has, every demon he has, begins to come against us to stop us, to discourage us, to get us to turn back.
Yes.
This means war.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. This means war. We're fighting the good fight of faith. And sometimes we don't understand what's going on because it is a fight that we can't see. Sometimes we can't put the pieces together because we don't know what the next part is. This is a quote from lovegodgreatly.com. And it says this, when we don't understand what God is doing, we have to trust that we know of His character through His Word. He is good, He is loving, and He is merciful.
Amen.
So as we fight this good fight of faith, we walk by faith, not by sight, but we know that we can trust God because of His Word.
Yes.
And because He's a good, good Father.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. So as I was thinking about this phrase, because the Lord said, preach on, fight the good fight of faith. I thought of the battle of David and Goliath. Now, most of us have heard this story before. Have you heard it before? Wave at me.
Yeah.
That's good. We have a crowd that's heard it. You know, some people have never heard of David and Goliath. They glaze over when you talk about it. So, that's probably the most well-known story in the Bible. When a little shepherd boy comes up to fight a well-trained giant. Okay, so there's 5 points that I picked out of this story. Number one, our battles and challenges will always be bigger than us. Your challenge is going to be greater than what you can accomplish on your own. We need God to help us. We need people to help us. That's why God has put together churches. That's why God has brought us together as a body. To stand together, to war together, to have fun together.
Amen?
Amen? We're a family. Tell your neighbor, we're a family.
We're a family.
And the problems that we're facing are bigger than we are. I just want to share with you, as I was thinking about the children's ministry over the last few years, we planted our church on children's ministry. Our Love and Action program is geared towards kids. And we went out for 10 weeks with our Love and Action program, ministering to kids 12 and under. Now see, this is the age group that continually seems to have problems with keeping teachers and people who will volunteer for it. Is within that age group. And why is that? Because the devil is coming against the anointing and the plan and the purpose of God on River of Life Church to train up a supernatural army of children.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
We planted our church on children's ministry. We had adults come to our church and say, "Oh, I don't want to go to church here. This is nothing but a children's ministry." Because we would have 25, 30 children without their parents in church. Tell your neighbor that's a challenge. So the enemy wants to stop us. Our problems are always bigger than what we can solve by ourselves. We need the heart of God, the wisdom of God. We need each other. Tell your neighbor, I need you.
I need you.
Because together we will win. Together no weapon formed against us will prosper. We are the church of the living God. And He has given us everything we need. Yes. We simply need to step into what God is calling us to do.
Yes.
We can't procrastinate in this season.
Right.
You know, you can sit on the sidelines, but you're going to miss all of the adventures of working with one another and on teams if you choose just to be on the sideline.
Right.
Because nobody sidelined anybody. You sideline yourself. You know that. Because God calls everybody to participate in some way. And if you are not physically able to get involved in something, you can pray. Because prayer is the key. My house will be called a house of prayer. We've been having prayer watches on Friday night. And I appreciate those who have come out. Some can only come for an hour or so. They come and go. But we have been blessed to sit with one another for 3 hours and to pray and to look at God's Word and to pray God's Word.
Amen.
It has been a powerful time. You see, we started our church actually in August. That is the month that we started, actually opened our doors for the first time. August 18th was the day. And so it just seems that there's always a rumbling in the heavenlies in August. Because the enemy don't like us. You see, we're an apostolic prophetic church. We don't water down the word. We call sin, sin. We know that Jesus is Lord. We know that He is greater than anything that we're facing in our lives. And we know that we're overcomers. We know we've already won. And we want the devil just to shake when we get out of bed in the morning. We plead the blood. One drop of Jesus' blood. The power that is in the blood. We believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. We are not ashamed of the gospel. If you're uncomfortable when we talk about the blood of Jesus, then you need to be delivered. It's a group of radical warriors that are not ashamed of the gospel, that will allow the Holy Spirit to work through them and the power of God to flow. God is an amazing God. He's doing amazing things. And we're supposed to be talking about David and Goliath. Okay, here we go. 1 Samuel 17:4 through 7. This is from the Message Bible because it gives a description of how big this problem was that David was coming up against. A giant, nearly 10 feet tall, stepped out from the Philistine line into the open. Goliath from Gath. He had a bronze helmet on his head and was dressed in armor that weighed 126 pounds. That is more than some of you sitting out here in this audience. What he was wearing on his body was 126 pounds, and he wore that to war. He wore bronze shin guards and carried a bronze sword. His spear was like a fence rail. The spear tip alone weighed over 15 pounds. His shield bearer walked ahead of him. So if you can just imagine someone 6 feet tall. Is there anyone 6 feet tall here? You're 6 feet tall? I'm not going to ask you to stand up. James Duncan, 6 feet tall? Roughly? With your heels on? No, just kidding. How tall are you, Richard? 6'4". Would you stand up? All right. Just stay standing up a second. From the top of Richard's head, just imagine 4 more feet. That's how tall. Have you ever looked up at Richard? You got to kind of go like this. Can you imagine how big this giant was? Thank you, Richard, for standing. So this giant comes out from the front lines of the Philistines, and he begins to challenge the Israelites to come on and take him on one-to-one. He wanted a one-to-one fight. He didn't believe in the God of Israel, although he had heard about all of the victories that the Israelites had won. He had heard about them, but he didn't believe in their God because they were so afraid of this battle. You see, when we're afraid, people start to doubt our faith in God. We're fighting the good fight of faith. Number two. Our adversary, the devil, will make noise to intimidate us. 1 Samuel 17:8 through 11. This is talking about Goliath. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel, and he said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together." And when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They were afraid. And another translation said they gave up hope. Sometimes the problem that we're facing is so big, and it's making so much noise, and we're hearing so many opposing views, that we give up hope and we just stop the battle. Goliath was a big bully. He was a big bully. His size was intimidating, and he used his mouth to go right along with it. He wanted to fight one-on-one because he thought that some little soldier from the Israel army didn't have a chance against him. He was pretty self-confident that he was going to win. And he actually said, "I defy the armies of Israel." In other words, "I hate you." The devil hates you. Yeah. He will say hateful things to you. He'll use people around you to say hateful things to you. He will do everything he can to intimidate you and to get you to shut up and get you to back up and get you to sit down. He doesn't want to hear what you have to say because he knows that what is in you is greater than what is in him. And so he uses this form of intimidation to get you to shut up and to back up. He reminds us of how weak we are. Number three, our battle would give us opportunities to declare God's will.
Amen.
You have the opportunity to make a declaration.
Right.
I made a declaration this morning that we are going to have the most powerful children's ministry, K through 5, of supernatural talent, gifts, and abilities.
Yeah.
God is stirring. Oh, he's stirring this morning. So we have the opportunity to declare. So let's take a look at this next scripture. And I'm not reading every verse in this chapter. It's a great story. But David was on his way to see his brothers who were fighting in Israel's army. He was on an errand. Tell your neighbor he's on an errand. You see, you never know when God's going to show up with an opportunity for you to slay a giant. You might just be on an errand for your daddy. So it was because he was there taking food to his brothers and supplies that he heard the altercation going on and this Goliath making this challenge to the armies of Israel. And so something began to raise up in him, and he asked his brother Eliab about it. And Eliab accused him, if you read the story, of having naughtiness in his heart. He said he just wanted to come down to be nosy, to find out what was going on in the battle. He said, you have naughtiness in your heart. And you're prideful. In other words, what do you think you are getting involved in the army's business? You know, you're just on an errand for your dad. You're bringing us some cheese, you know? So even your own family can discourage you. Because they don't see you always the way God sees you. Yeah, give the Lord a praise. I believe that's why we have a spiritual family, because your spiritual brothers and sisters see the anointing and the call that's upon your life. And they're encouraging you. They're nudging you, saying, you can do it. Come on, come on, come on. Keep going. But the Spirit of God rose up in David, and he asked this question. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the God of Israel?
Hallelujah. Amen.
Who is this guy that he thinks he can come against the God of Israel?
Amen.
Let's read 1 Samuel 17, 32 through 33. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and he a man of war from his youth. In other words, you're not qualified. You don't have the goods to face this. Who do you think you are? You need to back up. You're not strong enough. You're not trained enough. You're not old enough. But you see, Saul didn't know about the battles of David.
Amen.
Didn't know what God had been taking David through. Nobody knows what you've been going through to strengthen you, to build you up, to prepare you for the battles that are ahead. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what happens. Nobody understands the struggle.
Yeah.
Except for you and God. God knows what he's doing. Tell your neighbor, God knows what he's doing. He puts us in circumstances and situations that are really uncomfortable, and we think that we can't do it, but God says you can.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. There were some things that took place out in the field with the sheep. But Saul had no idea. David was following the instructions of his father. And in being an obedient son out in the field doing the dirty job that nobody else wanted to do, God was working on him. God was training him for the battle that was right in front of him. First Samuel 17:36-37, David said this to Saul. He said, "Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God." You see, Goliath opened his mouth and defied the soldiers of the Lord. And God was about ready to bring him down, just like he brought down the lion and the bear. Oh, think about that. Apply that to your life. When people defy the God that you serve, when they resist you, when they resist the gospel, they are resisting God, who is able to take them down. That's right. God does it. His word does it. Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." So David had an opportunity to declare his victory. Amen. He didn't declare his defeat.
Amen.
He didn't declare how big Goliath was or what the problem was he was facing. He wasn't talking about his problem.
Right.
Come on, he wasn't talking about the problem. We do too much talking about the problem. We need to be talking about how great God is and what he's delivered us from, what he's healed us from, what he has set us free from, because the battle we're facing is not too big for God. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. David's confidence was in God's ability and strength to deliver him from the hand of the giant.
Yes.
I can't even imagine how big that giant's hand was. The scripture shares that Saul offered David his royal armor, and David did try it on, but he said, I can't fight in this.
Yeah.
I just can't fight in this. I'm just going to trust God.
Yeah.
I'm going to trust God for this battle, who saved me from the lion and who saved me from the bear.
Amen.
So David got ready for battle. And he went and he carefully chose 5 smooth stones from a stream, and he charged out towards Goliath. And Goliath was amazed when he saw him coming towards him. So point number four. Our adversary will despise us and curse us no matter how good looking we are. That's what the scripture says about David. All right, 1 Samuel 17:42-44. "And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking." Ruddy is a word for red. He was probably a redhead. He was probably fair skinned. "And when he saw him, he disdained him." He hated him. He's like, he's just a kid. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you'd come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Point number five. Our battle belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
We're to prophesy the will of the Lord.
Right.
And this is what David did in this battle. 1 Samuel 17:45-47. He said, "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into our hands.'" Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, Goliath told David that he was going to kill him and feed him to the carcasses. But David told Goliath that he was going to take his head off and he was going to kill all the Philistines and feed them all to the birds of the air. Come on. Did you hear him prophesy? And he said, "It's our battle," because he knew that once he threw that stone and once God directed that stone right into the giant's head and the giant came down and he took his head, that the armies of Israel would pursue after the Philistines and they would slaughter them and kill them because they defy God. There is no other God. There is no other name under heaven whereby we can be saved. We are in covenant with an awesome heavenly Father who is sovereign over the universe, and he has the last say, and God says you will win.
Amen.
Tell somebody you will win. David was in the battle for his life. Goliath's intent was to take this little kid out. Come on. These are the odds that we're up against. It never looks balanced. It's never even. Why is that? Because God wants to be glorified. God will not share his glory with anyone. We are little, but we are mighty. Through God, the Lord of hosts. Our God has never lost a battle. He is not going to send us into a battle that we are not going to win. We will win.
Amen.
We will win. We will win against all odds, church. I'm telling you, we've seen it for 22 years. It'll be 22 years, our anniversary celebration in October. 22 years we have seen God fight our battles. People will say, "How does a church this small do what you do?" And we said, "It's not us, it is God." It is God. We say yes to the Lord. We do our part, and God does exceedingly above all that we could ask or think. God is able.
Yes.
God is able.
Yes, he is.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We go in the name of the Lord of hosts. Someday, we're going to be glad we kept going.
Yeah.
It might not feel like glad in the midst of the battle, but when you got that victory,
amen,
when you know you're an overcomer, you're glad.
Amen.
When you slay that giant, you do your happy dance. Your victory dance. Would Gabe like to demonstrate? I'm just picking on you, Gabe. You don't have to get up. Jesus is greater than all that we are going through. And this is what we have to keep our eyes on. That God is greater. And nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Nothing. God loves us. He loves us. Tell your neighbor, God loves you. As praise team is coming, my last point, fight the good fight of faith. It is a war that ends in eternal, infinite glory and joy. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Amen. 2 Timothy 4:7, if you can see it up there, would you read it with me? The Apostle Paul said this at the end of his life. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. We're going to... If you'd like to stand, we're going to sing the song, We Will Win. You Will Win. You come on up. Here's the microphone. We're fighting the good fight of faith. Amen?
Amen.
All right, now listen to these words and get into this song.
Against your home, the enemy came up against your children, the enemy came up against your name, the enemy came up against your doubts. Against your hand, the enemy came up against your side.